turn around and say hello to somebody before you take a seat. Hello to all of you who are online. I know you're out there. I do. So glad that you're watching. So glad that you're tuning in today. Absolutely. All right, man, so good to see everybody. Whether you're online or you're in the room, make sure that you say hello to us. All you have to do is text the word hello to this phone number that is on the screen. I'm going to ask, there you go, there's a telephone number on the screen. All you got to do is text hello to that number right there, and that lets us hear from you. We always want to hear from you. If you happen to be in the room and you're a guest of ours, make sure you stop by our guest service station out there. Let us greet you, because we have a gift for you there as well. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows what today is, but today is Palm Sunday. I guess you guys know that, you know, Palm Sunday, kind of an exciting time in the life of Christ. And I'm sure you remember he came strolling into town on a donkey, of all things. Y'all remember that story? Came into town. I mean, he didn't come in on one of those Clydesdales or anything like that. No, he came in on a little donkey. I think his feet were dragging the ground, you know. But they were laying those palm branches out, and they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Y'all know what that means, right? It's a word of praise and adoration, but the word Hosanna actually means, "Lord, save us, save us." He was going to save them, and sure enough, he did. Wasn't anything like they expected when he saved them on that cross. That was not what they expected as they laid down those palm branches. But sure enough, that's what he did. And he died on that cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And that's when they said another phrase. They said, "He's alive. He's risen." And that's when we celebrate Easter. So next Sunday, we're celebrating Easter. It's on the screen here. Experience the life that can change your life on Easter Sunday. Certainly, we have that Saturday night service that we want to encourage you to be a part of as well. And there's a few ways that you can help us have a great Easter experience next weekend. First of all, pray. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Everybody just say pray. Come on. Pray. Let's pray. Did you know that we need your prayers? We do. There's power in prayer. Prayer is where the power is. You're asking God for help. And just so that you know, and you're invited to come, but on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, this Wednesday, there's going to be some ladies in this room right here, just praying over all the seats, praying over this room, praying over our church for the Easter weekend. They pray over the church every week, but certainly we want to pray over this Easter weekend. If you want to join them, that's this Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. You can help us by just praying. You can pray at home, but you can pray here. And I know that our ladies would love to see you show up Wednesday morning. Also, you can just serve. You can pray and you can serve. Everybody just say serve. Come on, help us out, you know. We can help the people clearly hear the message of Easter. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead and can change their lives. And so we can help families hear that message by helping out in Grace Kids. And you know, there's lots of people coming. And so we can offer to help in that kind of way. There's a sign out there that says, "Help us on Easter," or whatever. And you can help us on Easter. You can help us every Sunday if you want to. I mean, we just loving helping people come to know Jesus Christ and how he changes everybody's lives. And then the other thing is just, you know, move it on over. Y'all know the song, right? I've sung it to you before. Move it on over, scoot it on over. The big dog's coming in. And so, yeah, just move to the middle next week when you come. You can come on Saturday night for sure. Creates a little space. But then at the same time on Sunday morning, just make room for people because you love people, right? And so that's kind of what we do. And then also going along with Easter is that extravaganza. That's this Wednesday night. For all the families, you can invite your family, friends, and people of the neighborhood, whatever. Invite them to come with you. The extravaganza, it's kind of crazy that Easter is already upon us, but here it is. And then right after Easter, we have a couple things rolling, a few things. Actually, we have our Rooted class that starts at 9 o'clock, 9:15 actually. It's a story of Scripture. And those of you that know what that is, you can ask questions about it at the information table if you want to find out a little bit more about it. But it's just a little bit of a deeper study on the story of Scripture. That's at 9:15. And if you'd like to be a part of that, that's there for you. And then the Q&R, we normally do this after Easter, a couple of weeks, where we do question and responses. All you got to do is send us your question, and we compile a bunch of the questions, and we always enjoy just kind of, just, you know, being on the stage, just answering some of your questions, and I think it's always been well received. One other thing, if you're new to the church, we got dessert with the pastors coming up right after Easter as well. We always enjoy getting to hang with the new people in the church and getting to know you better, and you getting to know what our church really is all about. And so that's for you if you're new to the church and you've never been to one. All right, so here we are. We're in the series, Life is Hard, God is Good, and Finding the Power of Jesus When You Need It the Most. And so today I just have a question for you. Have you ever had something on your heart and there was concern about someone who was in your heart? Had something on your heart about someone who was in your heart and you felt like that you needed to have a heart-to-heart? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Need to have a heart-to-heart here with you. Yeah, and that's exactly where Paul's at today, the Apostle Paul. He's right here, right now. There's people that are in his heart. He's got a message that's on his heart, and he needs to have a heart-to-heart talk with them. Because they're people that he loves so, so very much. But at the same time, there's people who are trying to sway the people that he loves and get them to question Paul's motives. And so Paul's going to have a heart-to-heart with them. We're going to see it in the passage here in just a second. But he says, I open my heart wide open to you. This is the way I'm going to roll through my life, through my words, all this. This is the way that Paul rolled. He always shared his heart with the people that he loved so dearly. And so what was on his heart is what's always on his heart. It's the amazing grace of God. The amazing grace of God, it's a message that burns and burned in the Apostle Paul's heart, you know. The grace of God, it's amazing grace and it's available grace. I know that y'all know that song. Y'all ever heard that song, Amazing Grace? Y'all know that one? I know you know. That's why I said it that way. Yeah, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that God's grace is amazing, right? And then it goes on to say that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that his grace is available. So yeah, I mean, God's grace is amazing. God's grace is available. And that's what we're looking at today. So I want us to check out this amazing and available grace of God. And so here we go. We're going to just kind of dip back into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians just for a bit, and we're going to be plowing some ground here today, all right? And so let's take a look at this. Let's start with chapter 5, verse 21. We kind of looked at this last week, so here we go revisiting this. It says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And so what do I see there? Well, here's what I see. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Point number one is this right here. The amazing and available grace of God is a priceless gift from God. That's what I'm seeing here in verse 21. Yeah, it's a priceless gift from God. I'm reminded of that verse where Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it's on the screen, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's just say that out loud together. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One more time. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yeah, it's an indescribable gift. An indescribable gift is a priceless gift, right? It's priceless. Yeah, God's gift to us is way more than we can understand this side of heaven. And so what really is the gift? That's what we're talking about today. And we're looking at this gift of God's grace. Yeah. And so how do we define God's grace? The place that we read just a minute ago gives us a good definition. The verse we read just a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is short, but it's potent. It's very potent. It's a good place to define God's grace. It's on the screen again. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is just a great covering for God's grace. Are you with me on that? That's what that is, man. It's Can we even believe that? That verse is in there. Yeah, it's short, but it's potent. It's telling us about the amazing and available grace of God. And so as we look at that verse, I want us to break it down. We didn't do that last week, but let's break it down just for a minute. And so right off the bat, you see these three words, for our sake, right? You see that. So for our sake, this is why he did it. This was in the heart of God. I mean, he loves us so much, and he knows our relationship with him is broken. He knows it's broken. He knows that we're too far gone without him, right? Just too far gone. And so for our sake, he offers reconciliation. He comes after us for our sake. And this whole reconciliation, this idea, we just saw all of that last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But reconciliation, it flows out of the heart of God. Reconciliation for us, it flows out of the love of God. And so for our sake, out of his love, he comes for us. I mean, you know this well, but John 3:16, right? You've heard this. For God so loved the world. But that means you. Now, I know that you know that, but maybe you need to be reminded of that today. That means you. For God so loved you that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his one and only son. That whoever, that means you again, that means me again, that any of us who would put our faith in him and believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. It all was born out of the love of God. That's where it starts. So for our sake, he came for us. I'm thinking of that other verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says that God showed his love for us in this. He showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, we didn't deserve it, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Why? Because he was born out of the love of God. And so God understands the separation. And so he initiates this reconciliation for our sake. We couldn't do it for ourselves. So for our sake, he did this. So what did he do? You take a look. The next line in this verse says, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Another great line. This is one that everybody ought to know. And so God loves sinners, but God hates sin. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Yeah, he can't stand sin. Sin can never be in the presence of a holy God. Did you know that? Sin can never be in the presence of a holy God. Heaven is holy, and sin cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It cannot get in. So we don't get to get in on our own merit in any kind of way. No, sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. I mean, even Jesus, right? Y'all remember when he was on the cross. There was a time when he was on that cross and he made all of these famous statements. But one of those statements was very unique. Y'all remember it? Y'all know the one I'm talking about? The one where he said, you know, oh my God, my Father, why have you, what? Forsaken me. Why have you forsaken me? The reason he forsook him is because God cannot be in the presence of sin. And so he made him to be sin who knew no sin. So God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He did it. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, the perfect and holy sacrifice to be sin for us. And why did he do it? Well, it's on the screen, that we could become the righteousness of God. Man, this blows my mind that we could become the righteousness of God. I mean, God loves sinners so much and hates sin so much that he made a way for sinners to get to heaven without their sin. It's a way for us to get in and to keep sin out. Here's the way. It's the only way to get into heaven anyway. And so we got to go God's way. And so if we have sin, if I have sin, I can't get in. If I'm in Christ, then it's a different story. If I am in Christ, meaning if I have received Christ as my Savior, the one who not only died on a cross, but the one who died on a cross for me. I've got to do that. And so whenever I am in Christ and I receive Christ as my Savior, He covers me in grace. And so it's, and so our sin and in such grace, he's given us such grace, it's like our sin is not even there anymore. Now, of course, in this life, yeah, we struggle with it all, right? But there, no longer, no longer. And so we won't be in that situation anymore. He covers us with grace and He gives us the righteousness of Christ. And so when we get to heaven, yeah, we are in Christ and we have the same kind of righteousness that He has. And so we're the beneficiaries. We get the death benefit of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, a person dies in this world and sometimes there's a death benefit. They leave an insurance policy or whatever it may be. And people, you know, they're looking for that financial gain through a death benefit or whatever. But those insurance policies, they don't get you all the way to heaven. You know what I'm saying? They just don't. So there's something else here. And we've got to have this way of getting into the kingdom. And so this way that God does this, it's the only way to get to heaven. I mean, it's an offer we can't refuse. And this may be the only offer in this life that we cannot refuse. I mean, I've had an offer or two that I could refuse. Have y'all had a few offers that you could refuse? Yeah, but this is one that you can't refuse. On offers that I can refuse, you know, I've told you all this a long time ago. I've told you things like this anyway, but a long time ago when I became a Christian, you know, my old friends, they like to mess with me all the time, and some of it was funny. And after I became a Christian, it tells you a lot about my friends. They like to take my name in vain. They like to take my name in vain. You know, for a short spell, they quit taking God's name in vain. They would take my name in vain, you know. And so they'd say like John Brown or whatever, but they would say John and then I'm not going to say it, but they would go ahead, D-A-M-N. They would say my name and they would just mess with me. They were just messing with me. They were just being funny and just crazy and all that. But they actually did something else that was pretty funny. And all due respect to the man, there was a pastor a long, long time ago, a TV preacher, TV personality, I guess, by the name of Gene Scott. Maybe you've heard of him. And you know, with all due respect to him, I don't know how he lands with the Lord. He may be in heaven right now, but there were plenty of red flags around his ministry. And he was just quite a character. I mean, he sat in a high back chair and he taught the Bible. But what was unusual about him is that he had some things that he would do that were quite uncharacteristic for what you might think a pastor might do when he's teaching the Bible. One thing about Gene Scott is that he would always, or just about always, have a big old cigar in his mouth while he's teaching. Now, can y'all imagine me up here smoking a cigar while I'm telling y'all and just got a little aroma of smoke going up? Yeah. Well, he did that. And then also he would use profanity in his teaching. And so, I mean, he's just kind of had uncharacteristic ways, that's for sure. He didn't teach from a pulpit, he sat in a chair, so I think when he sat in that chair, he thought he had liberty to do all that kind of stuff. And another thing I found out, that something that he was really known for, I kind of looked him up a little bit this week to see really what was going on. And another thing he was known for is he would have these pony parties. And pony parties and have all these little ponies all around with dancing girls on them and everything. I'm telling you, he was quite a character. And so my friends, after I became a Christian, they were always looking for ways to mess with me. And so one time, Gene was doing a fundraiser and he's out in California. He's doing a fundraiser. It costs $100 to get in. And this is way back in the 80s, so today it'd probably be like $500 a plate or whatever. But my old friends, they called in and signed me up for the banquet. I'm just telling you. Signed me up for the banquet. I had no idea they were doing it. I told you my friends were crazy. But then one day I get this letter in the mail from that ministry. And I got a confirmation in the mail, actually, thanking me for signing up for the dinner and for that gift of $100 that I promised. Well, needless to say, I was a no-show. I didn't have $100 to give, you know, to eat with a preacher. Now, I might have gone if he'd offered me one of his cigars. I don't know. I'm kidding. But the whole thing was a joke anyway. But the point is, I didn't have $100 for that benefit dinner. Now, if Gene would have called me and talked to me personally and said, "Now, I know it costs $100 to get in, but don't you worry about that. I've got you covered. I've already given him $100 bill to get you in. And everything that's required, I've already paid. Don't you worry about a thing. Even your travel expenses, I'm going to cover everything for you." If he would have offered me all of that, I still would have said no. Even if he would have covered everything. Because it's an offer that I can refuse. But there's an offer that we cannot refuse. We have no options here. It's an offer that I can't refuse and you cannot refuse. It's the one right here that we're talking about here where God covers every single thing we've ever done in our lives. Every single little sin, big sin. All the things that are deep, dark, and crazy, and all the little white sins and white lies and everything. He covered every last one of them. He says, "I've got you covered. And you can come into the kingdom." It's an offer that we cannot refuse. On the screen one more time. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. I love it. Thankful, thankful, thankful that God's covered all those expenses for us. He covered every charge we got to pass. We can get in. So let's not refuse that offer. Let's accept that invitation. Yeah, it's a gift. It's a priceless gift. It's a priceless gift. You see that? We just read that we might become the righteousness of God. But then he goes on. He says, working together with him. It's amazing to me that God chooses to work together with us. Isn't that kind of surprising that God would work together with us? He works with flawed people. Did y'all know that? He works with flawed people. I see that hand. Yeah. I mean, he works with flawed people. But we get to work together with him. Here's what we got to know. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if whatever you do. But we know this, that we are all ambassadors for Christ. We talked about it last week. God wants to use every single one of us in the environments that we're in. And so that he wants to use us, but we have to know that there's nothing really that we can generate spiritually without him. He's got to do it. And so we get to work together with him. Then, he says, "Then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." I want to read that again. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And so we appeal to you. In other words, he's saying, this is from our hearts. This is from my heart. This is that heart to heart we're going to have. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So to receive it in vain, what do you think that means? I mean, maybe you've experienced that yourself before, maybe in life. Have you ever given somebody a gift and they never opened it? You might say, well, that was pointless. That was in vain. Or have you given somebody a gift and they opened it, but you could see it all over their face right when they opened it. You could tell that was not what they wanted. You ever been there before? It's like you think, man, just gave that gift in vain. I didn't even have the money in the first place, right? Maybe you gave a gift, they never thanked you. How'd that make you feel? Or maybe you gave them something that was really unique and very, very valuable. But then they just didn't take care of it. The next time you were around and you saw what you'd given them and you could see that they just had no concept of how valuable that gift was that you had given them and they just weren't taking care of it. Yeah. That's receiving a gift in vain. And so this grace that Paul's talking about, it's a priceless gift. A priceless one. I don't even know if we really understand what the meaning of priceless is. I don't know if we do or not. You know, I mean, what is priceless? I mean, you can't put a price tag on it. But this is a priceless gift. And he's saying, look, I'm giving you a priceless gift. Please do not receive this gift in vain. So let's take it a step further and see what he says. Take a look. He says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. And so what's that telling me? Well, it's certainly telling us that we can receive the grace of God in vain, right? And so here's something that I think might help us understand this a little bit. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number two, the amazing and available grace of God should never be received coldly or casually. No, you don't want to receive it coldly or casually. And so coldly is just to be resistant. That's just saying, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with that. There have been times in my life back in the day, been a long time ago, thank you, Jesus. But there were times in my life when I received the message and the grace of God coldly. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it at the time. And so we don't want to receive that message coldly. If that message is coming to you today, don't resist it. Be open. Consider it. God may be trying to speak to you. God may be trying to give you today a priceless gift. So don't receive it coldly. Don't receive it casually. In other words, don't receive it carelessly or indifferently. Because to be indifferent means that you just kind of take it or leave it. It just doesn't mean anything to you. And so sometimes we hear the invitation to receive the amazing grace of God, maybe in a church service even like this, but it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, I can tell you from experience, there were times in my life when I would hear this presentation made, whether it was in church or whether I might have been in a student ministry. You know, I came to Christ in my teenage years, but in the student ministry, I would hear these presentations made. Even some people pled with me before I came to Christ. They would plead with me, but it would just go in one ear and out the other. Have y'all ever been in church whenever, you know, it was just kind of going in one ear and out the other? Just look at the person next to you right now and say, you know, are you listening? Just look at them. And then say, or is it going in one ear and out the other? Just go ahead and tell them. It's going in one ear and out the other. It happens to us all the time. It just goes in one ear and out the other. Back in those days, if I'd gone to church and the pastor would have been talking about how I could get a free red Corvette, well, I might have listened to that, you know. But he's talking about something priceless that I just could not get my mind around. Just go in one ear and out the other. No, we don't want to receive this coldly. We don't want to receive it casually. We don't want to be indifferent to it. This thing should grab our attention. And so Paul's going to make sure it grabs our attention. So he comes in here in verse 2 and he says, behold. It's like, hey, everybody, wake up. Behold now. Right now, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, you know, you think about that, man. It is here right now for the taking. For anybody that, you know, if you just let it register, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it stop right here in your mind. Let it travel right on down to your heart and do something with this. But he says, today's the day is what he's saying. Today's the day. I needed a message like that way back in the day that today's the day. Come on, John Warren, let's do this thing. But yet oftentimes it would just go in one ear and out the other. But then there came a day when I did hear it. Thank you, Jesus. And it changed my life. And so, you know, you may be here today and you've never received Christ. You've never received the amazing grace of God that will get you all the way to heaven. You may be here today and you'd say, man, I don't know that I've really received that priceless gift. I just want to say, man, yesterday's gone. You can't go back and undo some things. You can't do that. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. And so we can't say, well, one of these days I'm going to get around to this. One of these days. No. Can't do that. No, today's the day. Right here, right now. And so if I knew then what I know today, I would not have let it happen so many times in my life when I just let it go in one ear and out the other. I was young enough, thank God for that, but I'll never forget the day that I said yes to Jesus. And with each passing day that goes by, we lose ground every time we hear the grace of God in vain. Some of us, some of you in this room, you came to Christ in your 30s or 40s or 50s. I got to lead a guy to Christ in his 80s. But But you know, man, you think, man, I lost so much time. I lost so much ground. I wish I would have known about Jesus, or I would have listened. I wouldn't have let it just go in one ear and out the other, but I would have received Christ whenever I was younger. We kind of look at that sometimes and we wish that. You know, I told y'all, I told y'all the story not long ago about me running into my cousin in the grocery store, you know, and we're like brothers growing up. And, you know, me and grocery stores. I told y'all about that grocery store in Dallas, downtown Dallas, you know. Y'all remember that? Had the elevator. You had to take an elevator, get up in there, and they had a security guard checking me out. Y'all know that. Y'all know all that. Yeah, it had security guards, elevators. It had a parking garage. Well, La Mesa, they don't have no parking garage. You just pull right in. Take a look. Here you go. Right here on the screen. That's it. You just pull right off the street. You just like one row parking right there. Now, they have a little parking lot on the side, but nobody ever uses that. They just pull straight in. But I think I told you. I don't know if I told you or not, but sometimes I don't remember what I tell you. Can y'all believe that? So true. And so he was at the delicatessen. Y'all know what the delicatessen is, right? Where they had that Polish sausage, fried chicken, and all that stuff you like to eat. You know what it is. So he's over there. I didn't see him, and he saw the back of my bald head, you know, about 15 feet away. I don't even know how he recognized the back of my head. We hadn't seen each other in probably 5 or 6 years. And he called my name, John Warren. So I turned around. Me and my oldest son were there, and we got to talk to my cousin, Kent. And, you know, Kent and I, we grew up together, and Kent would tell you himself, he made some bad choices, and not too long ago, he got out of jail, and we were talking there, and he was talking to my son, just saying, man, I remember when your dad pulled away from us. And it's interesting to me, this is really, it's really interesting to me recently, how God has put me back in company with all my old friends, and they're all talking about how they remember when God got a hold of my life. But anyway, Kent said to me in front of my son, he said, you know, when I was young and I was thinking about God, I just knew that, you know, I'd do that. I'd get around to following God whenever I was older. And now, you know, we're like 58 years old. And he's like, I'm older now. And he says, I want you to know I'm doing good. And I'm following God, and I'm trying to follow God with my life. But here's the deal. What am I trying to say? He would say to you today, if he were standing here, he's told me, I don't know how many times, he said, I've wasted so much of my life. And you understand exactly what I'm talking about. You've experienced it maybe in your own life. I experienced it in my life. But the point here that I'm trying to make is, today's the day. If you hear God calling you, the most, the wisest decision that you'll ever make in your life on any given day is when you're saying yes to God. It really is. But one other thing I want to make sure that you understand is that we are not in control of when we come to God. I think this is the big misconception about how this works. I think that I'm just going to come to God whenever, however, whatever, however I want, whenever I want, just whenever I'm good, well, and ready. That is not how it works. I'm sorry to tell you. Well, I'm glad to tell you, because I want you to know. I want you to know that when we say, well, one of these days, 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 sometimes we never get around to one of these days. And so you feel God calling you and you say, no, I'll do that when I'm older. And we miss out. But God's calling you right then. And you may not be in those environments where you feel God calling you right then again, because you never put yourself in those places again. You know, the good thing about me, by the grace of God, I mean, I'm thankful. My mom and dad watching right now, I'm so thankful for my parents, because they continue to lead me that way. And they loved me well. They loved me well. And even after I do a whole bunch of crazy stuff over here, well, back in those days, we really didn't have a choice about being in church, you know? And so I kept hearing. And then one day, all of a sudden, I couldn't deny that God was speaking to me. And I couldn't say one of these days anymore. So how does it work? Well, God draws us and we respond. Take a look. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father, this is Jesus talking. He says, all that the Father gives me. So again, what's my point? God is going to draw people into the kingdom. So he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. This is beautiful, isn't it? I mean, God draws, we come, and Jesus got open arms. Boom. You're in the family, man. I'm going to cover you with my amazing grace. My righteousness for your sin, I'm going to make that trade. I'm going to cover you. Anybody that comes to me, I'll never cast them out. You can come today and he'll never cast you out. You don't want to come because you're thinking, man, you don't even know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. What Jesus Christ did on the cross is bigger than any sin you can come up with or any sin that you've ever committed. He'll never cast you out. That's what it says here. It goes on to say, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. Again, he gives them to the Savior, but I will raise it up on the last day. In other words, we have a hope beyond this world. We're going to be in heaven with him forever. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Isn't that just beautiful? I don't know how that settles with you, but just reading that makes me excited. Just look to the Son. And he says, they'll have eternal life. Now raise them up on the last day. In other words, we get to go to heaven. And then he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I'll raise him up on the last day. Listen, if you ever feel God moving in your spirit, don't say, don't receive that grace in vain. Don't say, I'll get around to that one of these days. I'm just telling you, you may not. When God's drawing you, that's the time to say yes. That's the time to say yes. I just want you to know how this whole thing works. I do not want you to hear the grace of God or to receive the grace of God in vain. I want you to receive it. And so he says, behold, now is the time of God's favor. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And so right here, right now, ready or not, God is ready to welcome you. He's ready to save you. Ready or not, he's ready. And if you feel him calling you, receive it. Receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so, right here, right now, he's ready to save you. He's ready to welcome you into his family. He's ready to provide a place where you can have eternal life and be with him. You can be in God's forever family. So would you receive that? You know, right now, I just want to ask you. It's a little different. We're not finished with the message just yet. But just if you don't mind, just bow your heads with me for just a second. And if you're here in the room and you know that you've never really said yes to Jesus, but right now, you feel it. You feel God's calling you. Ready or not, he's ready to welcome you. Ready or not, you feel, oh God, you know God is ready to receive you and to welcome you into his forever family. He's ready to save you. If you've never said yes to Jesus for salvation, would you do it right now? You don't have to jump through hoops. All you have to do is say, here I am, God, that's me. Right here, right now. Today's the day of salvation. I'm not going to put it off any longer. I'm not going to let it go in one ear and out the other. Today's the day I'm going to receive you into my life. And as best I can, as flawed as I am, I'm going to start following you. And so, just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. I receive you into my heart. I know you died on the cross for me. Save me, Jesus. Save me. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of my salvation. I'm receiving you into my life as my Savior, as my Lord, as my friend, my best friend. I'm receiving you as the only one who can take me all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. So if you receive Christ, we welcome you. We welcome you into the family. Maybe you want to get baptized. There's a baptism coming up in a few weeks. You may want to follow the Lord in baptism. But there's one other thing about this, about receiving God's grace in vain. And that's to receive the grace of God for salvation, but then not to live it out. Not to live it out. To receive it and then use grace as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. Take a look at this verse that's on the screen right now. 1 Peter 2:16. He says, live as people who are free. Who are free people? Well, those who have received the grace of God, right? We've received God's grace. We're free. We're set free in Christ. He says, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as servants of God. And so it would be receiving the grace of God in vain if we would just receive that grace and then just use it as a cover up for evil. Just do whatever we want to do and just, oh, yeah. Chalk it up to all of God's grace. That would never be the heart of a true believer. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with sin. Don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean that we don't have setbacks. It doesn't mean that we don't have hard times and struggles. But be careful if we start saying, no big deal. God forgive me anyway. Be careful about that, because that verse right there is saying, don't use God's grace in vain as a cover up for evil. Receive God's grace and then live as servants of God. Now, a couple more points. I'm going to be brief here, but take a look at how this passage continues to flow. Look at what he says next. Of course, he says, today is the day of salvation. And then he says, verse 3 of chapter 6, we put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then he validates their ministry with the hard stuff. And he says, you know, by great endurance and in afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights and hunger. I mean, you look at all those things, you go, man, I don't know. I mean, the Apostle Paul and all of them, they went through a lot of that stuff, you know. They went through a lot of that stuff. Just one of those kind of grabs my attention, a sleepless night. I mean, have you ever had a sleepless night laboring in prayer for your lost son or daughter? You know, this is Paul's life. Just concerned, heavy with the people that are on his heart. And so he says all the hard stuff. And then he changes his tune and he validates his ministry with the right stuff. And he goes on to say, verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand. Then he continues to validate his ministry, kind of sort of by talking about the trials turned to gold. Verse 8, he says, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we're treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, but we're not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. And I don't know about you, but I love all that. So, man, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Why would he rejoice? Because he knows where he's going. He knows who he is. He's a child of God. He talked about that. He already told us that. He's a new creation in Christ. He's a child of God. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. And he knows that he's trying to take as many people as possible with him. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. He's destitute. Sometimes didn't even know where he's going to sleep. But yet he knew he had everything. And so what do I see there? If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number 3, the amazing and available grace of God should never be compromised because of our character. Should never be compromised because of our character. And so go back to verse 3. He says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way. You see that part? We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Interesting, huh? But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Take a look at the screen. We know these little phrases that we've seen before, but character counts, right? Y'all know character counts. Integrity matters. Our honor is all we've got. Our reputation always precedes us. Authenticity is significant. And then WYSIWYG. That's old Pastor Brian's deal. WYSIWYG. Y'all remember what that one stands for? Come on. I hear you. What you see is what you get. Now, Brian gets credit for all those crazy things like that. But yeah, I mean, in ministry, this is not only for pastors. It's not just for the television preacher that you're looking at saying, red flag. It's not just for someone like me. You're looking at me and, red flag. This is for you. Because I'm not the only ambassador in the room. We're all ambassadors in this room. You just get to go to a different set of people than I do. I get to come before you and say, go get them, right? Go get them. Share the message with as many people as you can. And so you go into the nooks and crannies of real life and share that message with people. But we cannot compromise the message of the gospel with a bad character. I mean, so what we are in church ought to be what we are in real life, right? What you are on a Sunday morning, that's who you are. I was just listening to a podcast this week, and the guy was talking about people who have been more effective in ministry, and he said that when they walk off the platform or they walk off the stage or whatever, there's really no difference. You can't see any difference really in who they are on the stage and who they are when they walk off the platform. You know, that's about preachers. Pray that's at least somewhat true of my life. That's what we aim for. But what about you? What do people see in your life? Do they see discrepancies? You know, we may be the only person of Christ. We may be the only Jesus that some people ever see. You know, we're flawed anyway, right? So whenever we have blatant inconsistencies in our character, that's never going to help us take more people to heaven with us. And so, yeah, I mean, we're flawed anyway. We can be real and we can be authentic, but yet at the same time, when we know there's some inconsistencies in our lives, we gotta kind of tackle those things. We gotta be honest about them. Get alone with God and clear those things up, because God wants to use you. God wants to use me, and we cannot compromise this amazing grace of God with our character. Can't be done. And so these red flags and all that, got to be careful with it. You look back over here again on the screen, going back, we put no obstacle in anyone's way. No fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then he says, verse 6, by purity. And so let's just stop for a second and ask ourselves, what does that even mean? I mean, do we even think about that in our lives? Are we walking in purity? Are we just kind of walking nonchalantly through life and we're not even concerned about those things? Or do those things register with us? It's like, what am I trying to do here? Am I trying to live a life that's pleasing God? Or am I just walking, you know, oblivious through life and not really thinking about these things? He said, man, we got to walk in purity. So these things matter whenever we offer the amazing grace of God to other. Impurity, it may not necessarily mean perfection. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not like you're going to walk on the clouds or walk on water. I don't think, right? Anybody in this room ever walked on water? No. And so we're not going to walk on water. We're not going to walk on the clouds. We're going to live in real life. And our goal every day is to live a pure life, to have a pure mind, to have pure speech, pure hearts. That's the goal. And yet we understand we're flawed, and so we're not going to be perfect at it. And so because we're not perfect at it, we got to have a really good prayer life and keep our accounts clean with God. That's where this aspect of confession comes in. We confess our sins. And Scripture tells us that He forgives us for our sins. But yeah, we gotta walk in purity. That's our everyday goal. And so take a look at this screen, 2 Timothy 2:22. Maybe you've heard this. This one always caught my attention after I first came to Christ. It says, flee the evil desires of youth. Now, you know, youth doesn't, it doesn't, when you're looking at that, it doesn't matter how old you are when you read that, all right? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a, everybody say it, out of a pure heart. Let's read through these and I'll just kind of make quick observations. It says, yeah, we put no obstacle in anybody's way. No stumbling blocks. No fault may be found with our ministry. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by purity. We've seen that one. By knowledge. What does that mean? It just means that you're hungry to grow. You know, you want to grow in your faith. What does the scripture say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want to know God's word. You want to live God's word through knowledge. He says patience and kindness. People can see that in your life if you're patient with people and kind to people. Through the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we led by the Holy Spirit? Are we obedient to what the Spirit is leading us to do? Found no fault. Because we're filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit, obedient to the Spirit. We've got genuine love. We're not pretending. We're just real. We're not putting on airs and being fake about it. No, we're real. He says, man, we were all about authenticity. By truthful speech, of course you understand that. By the power of God. With weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand. These weapons of righteousness for the right and left. That just means that we understand that we are in a battle. Oh, we are in a spiritual war every day. And so we gotta realize that. Yeah, we're going to have to fight against the enemy in our lives every single day. Paul's saying we're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for your lives is what he's saying. We've got weapons of righteousness in our right and left hand. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And so in our lives, we got to understand you personally, you're in a war. We talked about it last week. You're in a battle for your heart. And it starts in the mind. And so he says, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's two steps in this, if you ask me. You take it captive and you take it to the obedience of Christ, but you do not hold it in captivity. You don't hold those thoughts hostage and just hold on to them, right? No, you take it captive and then you cast it out of there in the name of Jesus. Just go ahead and say in the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus. You capture that thought and you cast it out in the name of Jesus. And you do not receive those thoughts that you know are not godly thoughts. Anything that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, whether it's modern philosophy, whether it's a lustful thought or a word you want to speak that's negative towards somebody. No, you capture that. You cast it out. If you want to say something negative to somebody and you capture the thought, but you hold that captive. You hold it right here. You're just like a hostage. And it's just ready to escape at any given point in time. And then here you go. And you just go ahead and say it anyway. No, you capture it and you cast it out all in the name of Jesus. We have these weapons of warfare. You know this, but the believer's armor, that's found in Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn there. But the amazing and available grace of God, point is, should never be compromised by our character. Last thing here, verse 11 through 13. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children. Widen your hearts also. Point number 4, if you're taking notes, the amazing and available grace of God should always be offered in heartfelt love. Yeah, so he says, our heart is wide open to you. And so, this amazing and available grace of God should always be offered in heartfelt love. Look at the verse again. Verse 11, we have spoken freely to you. Think about that. Speaking freely in a spirit of love, I mean, that's open and honest communication. That's transparency. There's nothing to hide here. We're just honest with you. That's true love. He says, our heart is wide open. We're holding nothing back. Our love is legit. We're giving it all we've got. He says, you're not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. Verse 13, in return, I speak to you as children, widen your hearts also. And Paul is just saying here, man, you know, our love is legit. We're not holding anything back, but you're holding out on us. You're holding out on us. You're allowing these naysayers who are speaking evil against us, you're allowing them to creep in and speak into your heart, and you're beginning to doubt us, and you're closing your heart to us. I'm saying, open your hearts again. And he says, I'm speaking to you as children. Now, what is he saying? He's not talking about that he's speaking down to people or like, you know, as a parent to a child, scolding them or speaking in a condescending kind of way. No, he's just saying, I'm speaking to you out of love for my own kids. I love you. Don't you know? Man, he's saying, man, I've loved you. I've grown you. I've discipled you. I've sacrificed my life for you. I've prayed for you to no end. I've given my love to you in every kind of way. My only request is that you would open your heart and love me back. And so Paul's just showing us that, man, any time that we share this amazing grace and this available grace, it's got to be in love. Love's the motive always behind it. If love is not the motive for what we share, we miss the point. If I'm sharing the message of Christ to show off my spiritual intelligence, that's not a good reason to share the message of Christ. If I'm trying to power up on anybody through religion, no, no, no. We don't do that. Today, I mean, all this is about today is for you, but we're not going to demand, command, manipulate you to do anything. Everything that we want to do here is grace-oriented. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. And so we want to share it in a message of love. Now, to draw this thing to a close, this amazing and available grace of God, it's as if I can hear Jesus almost say the same thing that Paul was saying to the Corinthians, but Jesus is saying it to us. It's just like he says the very almost the same words. But Jesus could say to me, Jesus might could say to you, I've spoken freely to you. My heart's wide open to you. I'm holding nothing back. You're not restricted by me. My love for you is definitely legit. But you are restricted in your own affections. You've allowed so many other things to come into your heart that you've crowded me out of it. And you're restricted in your love for me. So I'm speaking to you now. Widen your hearts also. So if you're a believer and you've already received Christ as your Savior, have you allowed anything to come between you and Jesus? Other affections? Is your love for Him restricted because of your affections? Because you have been listening to other voices, or you have been allowing other things to creep into your heart, and you know that He loves you, but that purity, you've allowed that to slip, and it's just not there, and you've not allowed God to keep that top spot in your heart. There's no judgment here. We've all done it. Probably most of us this week, this month anyway, have struggled with it at some point in time. But we don't want to crowd God out. We don't want our affections to be tainted. We want to be true to God. So if you're a believer, receive the grace of God, not in vain, but with authenticity and a genuine spirit, and say, Lord, that's me. I receive that. I receive you. And yes, Lord, in my heart, I've had some things that shouldn't be there. I'm giving them back. I'm letting them go. I'm capturing those thoughts. I'm casting them out, God. I'm coming back to you. And every time he says, my heart's wide open to you, he's got open arms every time. Aren't you grateful? Open arms. But maybe you're here today and you'd say you've never received Christ as your Savior. We just pray, you know, you can go in one ear and out the other real easy. I did it so many times. I pray that today it stops right here between the ears. You listen and you consider it. Would you consider it, what I'm talking about today? Would you consider becoming a Christian and receiving this amazing grace of God that will cover you? And He will give you this pathway to get through this very difficult world, this difficult life, but give you a pathway to take you all the way to heaven. You can get into heaven without your sin. How about them apples? Man, I want to ask you to take advantage of that. Just say, Lord, that's me. If you didn't do it earlier in the service, say, Lord, that's me, and do it now. And so, one thing about this amazing grace of God is it is not automatic. You do have to receive it. My prayer for my life, for yours, for all of us, is that we do not receive the grace of God in vain. Got a great song for you today, all about the grace of God. Let's sing it together. But aren't you glad that grace covers you today? Come on, let's give it up. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need a little covering. I need His grace to cover me. Let's just go to the Lord and thank Him for how good He is. Lord, we love You today. We praise You. God, yes, we need You. Thank You for this amazing grace. Thank You that it's available. Let us take it, God. so that grace can cover us. We can cover us all the way to heaven. Lord, we love you today. We praise you. Thank you for everybody that's in this room. I pray your blessing over them as they leave. Pray that they have a wonderful Easter week, and just let us enjoy the time just reminiscing and thinking back on all that you've done for us. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless. We'll see you next time. God bless.